Kia ora mai tātou, e te iwi, and welcome to AA Meeting on Air, Planet FM 104.6. A big kia ora to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. My name is Rose, and I am an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Rose.
Kia ora, Rose.
Kia ora. I'll be your chairperson this morning. Please will you help me open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I will now read from the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Before we start with our sharing, we will read from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a text used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism, a guide on how to live without alcohol in our lives. From the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable and discontented, unless they can again experience a sense of comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon of craving develops. They pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his or her recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. Tēnā koe, Whaia Marie. Would you open our sharing, please?
Kia ora, thanks, Rose. Kia ora, my name is Marie and I am an alcoholic. And, yeah, that's good. And that's pretty much how it is for me, you know. I drank because I liked how it made me feel. Drinking started at an early age, and I guess there, you know, and there was just this turning point for me where alcohol became my everything, my friend, my lover, my everything. And that's just how life just became. And as I got older, I drank more and I felt better. And life, I saw back then, was manageable. I could do a lot of things. Until then, one day, I couldn't even make that decision to go home or to, you know, go home to my family. You know, I was in a bar, down to my last lot of money, hadn't done shopping, you know, and I just couldn't, you know, in that thought to go home to my family, to the kids, to the house, or that one more drink, and it was always that one more drink. And that's just, for me, that's when, and I still didn't see the problem, you know. But I guess that's when life started to get really unmanageable. And to the point where you just couldn't make decisions. It was wake up in the morning and just that whole obsessing to drink, waiting for the wholesale to open, getting down to the wholesale, getting my alcohol to help me look after my children, to help me do the housework, to get them to school. I needed to take their drink and still didn't think it was a problem. I thought it was normal. I just thought it was normal. And that's just how I coped with life. And then coming to the end of my drinking, blackouts, arrests, assaults, DIC, just getting from the house to the wholesale and getting pulled up. You know, I really get how cunning, baffling and powerful alcohol is. Because once I took that drink, there was no worries about anything or anyone. And my last drink was pretty wicked. But again, a blackout, I don't really know what happened. I only was told what I had done. And from there, I ended up going to my first meeting in Papakura. It was a Saturday night, and I remember hearing these women sharing, and it just freaked me out because they were telling my story, and I didn't even know who these people were. So I just kept going, and I just kept going, and I just kept going. And honestly, it was like the hardest time of my life. Just getting sober and stuff was coming up, and so I got to 6 months and I thought, oh yeah, this is good, life is good, got my partner at the time back, the kids back, and thought, well, you know, I thanked everybody in the rooms for the hospitality, and I've got this, and I moved up north, and I moved up north with my family. And within a couple of weeks, the obsession had come back and I had picked up. And again, another blackout. Next thing, I was back in South Auckland, back at my meetings. And you know, that's how powerful and cunning and baffling the alcohol is for me, is that I couldn't put down that bottle after that. And that's when I went in and I done a rehab program, and I am so grateful and thankful that I went in as a residential, completed my program, and it's what I needed. I needed to be locked up. I couldn't do it any other way. And done my program, came out, you know, I still do my meetings. I have friends today that, and there's no payoffs in it. Like, you know, just genuine people in my life today, and I have a higher power in my life today. I have better relationships. I'm, you know, maintaining healthier relationships with my family, children, and I'm just so grateful and thankful to AA. And all of what it has, fellowship, 12-step program, and I'm thankful and grateful, and thanks for asking me to share, Rose.
Thanks, Marie. I'd just like to read from further in the doctor's opinion. There are many situations which arise out of the phenomenon of craving, which cause men and women to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. There is the type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. There is the type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. There is the manic depressive type who is, perhaps, the least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect, except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Yeah, hi, my name's Rose and I'm an alcoholic. That phenomenon of craving, I didn't realise it until I had some time up and, you know, clean or, sobered up from alcohol, where I could look back on my life and go, pretty much from the first day I picked up alcohol, I loved it. It helped me forget about things. It helped me make me think that my life was happier. I remember from the first time I picked up alcohol, I got in trouble with it. I knew I wasn't like my other friends who could just pick up and have a couple of drinks and have a good night. And that would be it. You know, for me, every time I touched alcohol, there would be trouble. I would black out. There may be some trouble with the law, or I'd have an argument with my partner or family. But that didn't seem to stop me, and I didn't know why. I didn't think that that was normal at the time. It seemed normal for me to just keep going. It was just having fun. I kept going and I kept drinking and I kept thinking that it was everything but the alcohol. My childhood, it was this person or that person, you know, in the rooms we talk about people, places and things. And kind of got to the point where I just didn't really need any excuse to have a drink. You know, this is my second time back in the rooms or around in the rooms because, like Marie, I got some time up of staying away from alcohol, and for me it was kind of like just proving I could live life without drinking. And I managed to stay away from alcohol for about a year, but my world just got smaller and smaller. And I eventually, you know, thought, oh, it's been a year now. I can have a drink. I'll just have one. And actually the first time I sort of picked back up, I had two half glasses of wine. And I thought, wow, see, I can do it. But it was a very slow managing my alcohol intake for the next few years. Before I found myself back in that place of every time I picked up a drink, I would get in trouble. And it was at that point I knew I had tried going to counselling, I had tried studying, I had tried, reading the inspirational books and searching on the internet and stuff. But for me, I believe I was at the last stage, you know, and I knew that Alcoholics Anonymous was where I needed to be. I came back into the rooms and the language was different. The people looked different, although I could barely see anybody through my, You know, I was so broken and, you know, tears, crying. I think, you know, I was 3 days into a hangover. And I just came back and I kept coming back. For me, you know, I had to be so broken. For me, it was basically do or die. And, you know, I came back and I kept coming back and I did the suggested things. And for me, it was because my alternative was to die. And I came into these rooms and I was able to share that with other people who didn't think I was going crazy, who didn't, you know, didn't want me psychoanalyzed. They just said, you know, they nodded their head and they knew and they just said, keep coming back. And that started my journey of recovery. And we share in the rooms, you know, in a general way, what it was like, what happened and what it's like now. My life today is completely different to what it used to be. You know, I used to wake up in the morning and think about what I was going to do after work, which was drink. You know, I used to wake up in the mornings and think, okay, how many days have I had off sick? Can I afford to take another day off sick? You know, I don't have that stuff today. I kind of never ever thought just getting up and going to work was the life that I'd want. But today I have a peace and serenity in my life. Today I have a job. Today I have people around me who love and care for me. And today is a very different life to what I used to live. So I'm a very grateful alcoholic, and you know, my primary purpose is to stay sober and carry the message. So if you think or feel that you have a problem with alcohol, Alcoholics Anonymous helped me, this alcoholic, to not only recover but stay recovered. And I continue to attend meetings, and because I continue to carry the message that this worked, or it has worked for this alcoholic. So I'll just leave my sharing there. Thank you.
Rose.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. To our AA friends and whānau for their willingness to share their stories with you, our listeners, thank you. And now Marie will read from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and share with you the promises.
Kia ora, Rose. If we are about the space of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realise that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
Thank you, Marie. We truly hope that our message of recovery can help the still suffering alcoholic amongst our friends, family, whānau, and within our communities. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757, who will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. That concludes our sharing this morning. AA Meeting On Air will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. Would you please help me close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are over 100 AA meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. Thank you to our listeners, and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6.
My face to the sun. the one with my face to the sun.
Too sweet.